HomeWorks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets. You're the
God of this. Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the costs needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive with the Lord's guidance and direction to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need during this harsh winter. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is this is Carla Dedessi here at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Your family does matter. Faith, family, fun, and freedom. Every Friday morning, we have a lot of F's in there. We are doing part two this morning with Kathy Barnett of the Truth Exchange. What is the Truth Exchange? The Truth Exchange is engaging minds to think from a biblical perspective and a biblical worldview. Kathy Barnett is a conservative Black young mom and wife with intelligent perspectives and views that are oftentimes controversial in the light of the mainstream media. She's an adjunct professor of corporate finance and economics, a Christian conference speaker. She writes for several media outlets and is the radio host of Truth Exchange with Kathy Barnett. That can be heard every Sunday at 11:30 on WYLL in Chicago. Her corporate career includes working with two major Wall Street firms and in corporate America. She served her country proudly for 10 years. Thank you,
Kathy. You're welcome.
In the armed forces, where she was accepted into officer candidacy school. Kathy currently sits on the board of a crisis pregnancy center. Kathy has taught systematic theology as a layperson within the Christian community for over 10 years. Multiple publishers have shown an interest in Kathy's first book project. Again, she is the founder of the Truth Exchange Ministries. Thank you for being here with us this morning.
Oh, thank you.
I encourage you to go to my podcast and check out part one with Kathy, where we had a fabulous discussion on Islam and Christianity. You really had a lot of great insights, and I know that I was educated during that time with you. But today, I would like to talk to you about another passion of yours. At least it's a current passion. And we've had discussions about this. I've enjoyed them very much, and you have certainly educated me. But I want to talk about the ERA. Recently, you went out to Chicago to do a PSA for the ERA, right?
Yes.
A public service announcement. So I will just share that we're both women. That's not a surprise. You can hear our voices. But as a woman, the ERA, Equal Rights Amendment, I never thought that they were a real friend to women. And certainly today, you are identifying that they really are not a friend to right. women. But why don't you bring us back? Tell us a little bit about the history of the ERA.
Okay, yeah. You know, and as you said, I just recently started diving into the ERA, which, as you have already alluded to, means the Equal Rights Amendment. And I had the wonderful opportunity of going and spending time with the state of Illinois chairperson who sits over as an opponent of the ERA in the state of Illinois. And we did a PSA, public service announcement, which then turned into a 30-minute talk show. So very excited about that, of just the opportunity to get truth out. But what is the ERA?
And I just have to tease you and say that I'm really surprised that a 30-second PSA turned into a 30-minute show.
I know.
Because this is the norm for both of us, right?
Yeah. Yes.
We all have to have our gifts. Okay, so yes. I'm sorry. Let's go back.
No, but with the ERA, what is it? And right before I left Chicago, Illinois, I saw a commercial for the ERA, for the proponents of ERA that are trying to get the state of Illinois to ratify the national Equal Rights Amendment. And literally, I am not kidding you, all the commercials said essentially was, I want equal rights. Don't you want equal rights? Equal rights. We should have equal rights. And they had black people, white people, Asian people, women, some men. But all they talked about was equal rights, equal rights, equal rights. But that is very deceptive. It's a deceptive message. Because it is generally, when you hear about the Equal Rights Amendment, it is generally put in terms of women equal rights, and specifically women equal wage discussion. So when you hear the term Equal Rights Amendment, it is generally presented as a way to garner additional equal rights for women. But what is deceptive about it is that the word women is not even included in the bill at all. The bill simply states that equality of rights under the law will not be denied by the United States or any states on the basis of sex. So it makes no mention of the word women. And yet, when we generally hear the term Equal Rights Amendment, it is positioned as a way to give women equal rights.
And Kathy, it never said women, not even in the
60s? It doesn't even have
like the original.
It doesn't even have the word women in it.
I did not know that.
Yeah. The word women is not even in it. And so when you present that message of, do you want equal rights? Well, what legislator or what individual on the street is going to say, no, I don't want equal rights, or no, women should not be given equal rights? So it's very deceptive marketing, but that's a part of that's a part of their intent. It is intended to be deceptive and not to share everything that is really about, because ultimately it will harm women. And we've already seen multiple cases where the state ERAs that have been passed have been used to harm women and not help women.
Okay, so I believe that in the 60s with the ERA, you know, when I think about that, I think of bra burning. And that definitely, I'm not really sure how that gave us equal rights. And actually, I think that, you know, when we burn our bras and we kind of, it's almost like we hate ourselves. Why should I hate myself? Like, I believe that all women and men are just made beautifully and uniquely and differently. And yes, we are equal, but we absolutely have differences. I mean, you have a history of being in the military. Yeah. Did you look differently from the men who were in the military?
I most definitely did. I mean, like, that's a newsflash in our culture today that men and women are different. We look different. We, our bodies behave differently. And so it is natural that we would have laws that would recognize those differences and to make allowances for those differences when it is based on what we know to be true. Men and women are different. I am not a man.
Right. Men have way more muscle mass than we have. They will always have more muscle mass than we have. Even if we work out 8 hours a day, they have been created to have more testosterone, which has more muscle mass.
Yes.
They have a deeper voice most of the time, which is more commanding. You take, you look up when they're talking. And then, of course, we have the whole, you know, women are able to have babies. And, you know, we have 1 month out of the year where some of us may not feel as well as the men might feel. So there's absolutely differences in our biological makeup that, yes, we are equal. We are both very important, but we are different.
We are different. And it is a difference not to be shunned, but a difference to be celebrated.
Yes.
I love being a woman.
So do I.
I enjoy it.
I'm sure
my husband loves being a man.
Yes.
and there is nothing to be ashamed about it. But in our culture, we, you know, we're trying to go for this genderless society. And this is exactly what the ERA will accomplish if it is ratified. So let me, you asked me earlier about the history of it. So the ERA actually dates back all the way to 1923, right? A little bit after the women's suffrage. Mm-hmm. And in 1923, when it first rose its little ugly head, the labor unions actually fought it back because many of the rights and the benefits that women had just received because of the women's suffrage, they saw that the ERA would actually eradicate it. It would not help women, but it would hurt women. So in 1923, when it first rose its head, the labor union fought it back, and it was not brought before Congress. So then, a couple of generations later, it passes out of Congress in 1972. But now, when Congress passed it and sent it to the states for ratification, because of course, for anything to become a part of the Constitution, once Congress passes a bill or an amendment, it must go to the states for ratification. And so, when Congress passed the ERA bill in 1972, they sent it to the states for ratification, but they placed a deadline on the amount of time that the proponents had to get at least 38 states to ratify the ERA amendment, and which would then make it a national law, a national, right? It would be added to the Constitution. Well, try as they may, they got 35 states to ratify the national ERA. But then once several of the lawmakers started actually reading what they passed, five of those 35 states tried to rescind. It's kind of like a Nancy Pelosi. They read it after they had passed it. And when they saw what was in it, they didn't like it. And they recognized that, oh, this will actually harm women and not help women. Well, they tried to rescind it. So recognizing that they were not going to get all 38 states to ratify the ERA before their timeline ran out, the proponents of ERA decided to go back to Congress and ask Congress to give them an extension. Congress did, but that extension is problematic for multiple reasons. And if you want me to go into that, I could tell you about that. But Congress gave them an extension of an additional 3 years to try to get 38 states. That extension came and went. And in 1982, they still could not get 38 states in total, which would have been, because they had 35, they would not allow the 5 to rescind. And so all they needed in their mind was just 3 more states. So they had 10 years altogether to try to get 38 states to ratify this congressionally agreed ERA in order for it to become an amendment in the Constitution, and they could not do it. So today, 40 plus years later, they are operating under a strategy they call the three state strategy. They believe if they can get at least 3 states to ratify the ERA, then they can go to Congress and ask Congress to retroactively instate the ERA back to 1972. So essentially, they are renegade. They're operating under absolutely no timeline whatsoever, and they're just doing whatever they want to do, believing that in their mind, they just need 3 more states, and they have an infinite amount of time to get those states.
So if they get these 3 states, and now we're up to the 38, they will be able to have the ERA and in all of the states, all of those amendments, all of those.
Right. Because it will be ratified at that point, because they need at least 38 states, which is about 75% of our states, to ratify the ERA.
OK.
Which would then make it a constitutional amendment.
So you shared that everybody is saying on commercials now, and even at the, was it the Oscars recently?
Yes.
That was out,
Patricia Arquette.
OK.
Her infamous statement of it's time for equal wage for women.
OK. So everyone is. And of course, we all want equal wages for women, and we all want equal rights. So tell us what is really at the core of this.
Yeah, I mean,
why do we believe it is bad?
It's very deceptive. And so, and that's one of the reasons. Now, for the state of Pennsylvania, you guys have already passed a state ERA, and you ratified the national ERA back in 1979, right before the deadline ended. And so, but nonetheless, although we have a Pennsylvania state ERA, and although we have a national, the state of Pennsylvania has already ratified the national ERA, it is still very important for us to be engaged and to be informed, because as you would figure, according like the liberal motto, never let a bad idea die. So they are now trying to create a new ERA because they recognize that there's a lot of problem with this 1972 ERA. They recognize that the fact that that Congress gave them a 3-year extension is very problematic. So let's say they got 3 states today to ratify it. Now they're up to 38. And it goes to Congress. Well, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits coming at them, because that initial 7-year timeline that Congress placed on them, it was a very crucial part of the 35 states that signed on. Those 24 out of the 35 states said that meeting the timeline deadline was a crucial part of them ratifying the ERA, and if they didn't meet the deadline, then they would rescind their ratification. So it's a very crucial part. And not only that, but the amendment is like a contract. I'm sorry, the amendment is like a contract, right? So if you and I entered into a contract, we would write out the terms of the agreement. And then once we both have come to a meeting of the minds of the terms, how would I be able to change those terms? I wouldn't be able to change those terms unless I come back and get your approval. Well, when Congress allowed for a 3-year extension, they did not go back to the 35 states that had already ratified the national ERA and say, approve this. They just did it. So there's a huge infringement on states' rights as well.
So are you saying that, I hear what you're saying, but you're also saying in addition that the 7 years that they've been trying to amend and ratify, there might be some retroactive things happening, like a woman might come and say, well, now that I can get this, like there's retribution for those 7 years that
why not, right? I mean, if they make it retroactive back to 1972, exactly. Yeah, so there's multiple issues with the ERA. One of the issues that I've just outlined is the fact that the timeline has come and gone twice. And so now the proponents of the bill, of the amendment, is operating under what they call a three-state strategy. That's problem. So that's problem. That's one problem. The other problem is the fact that the ERA is very poorly written. It simply states, as I said earlier, that equality of rights will not be denied by the United States or any state based on sex. So it leaves a lot to the imagination. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, what we have seen when the states pass their ERA, because you have a national ERA that they're trying to ratify, but you also have states that will create and pass an ERA mm-hmm. For their particular states. And so for those particular states to have an ERA amendment on the books that have been passed, we see that many of those states, the ERA is being used to harm women, not help women.
And we need to say that again. So the ERA is being used to harm women and not help women.
For example, you want me to give you an example?
Yeah, give me quite a few examples, and then I want to ask you a question.
Okay, let me give you an example. For the state of Pennsylvania, since this is where we are, the inspector general denied car insurance premiums being lower for women relative to men. Although statistically, we know that women are better drivers than men. Mm-hmm. However, under the ERA, the inspector general found that it is unconstitutional because it shows preferential treatment to women over men. And so recognizing that they had done wrong, that the state legislators recognizing that the ERA was being used not in the manner that they thought it would when they passed the ERA. They thought it was going to give equal rights to women and help women. But when they saw that that the inspector general was actually using it to harm women, because now the lower premiums women would no longer be allowed to receive, the state legislators went back and said, well, let us try to create a new law that will say, well, in the cases of insurance, we can look at statistics, and women are statistically better drivers, so they should receive lower car insurance premiums. Well, they passed that law, but then the state Supreme Court for Pennsylvania came back and said, no, this amendment that you're now presenting is unconstitutional according to the state ERA. It's showing preferential treatment. So in the state of Pennsylvania, women do not receive lower car insurance premiums.
Do you know how annoying it is to me that, like, this is what our politicians are discussing in Harrisburg? It's really annoying to me. And then they still come up with the wrong response at the end of all of this not looking at the statistics.
And because they're not reading and getting an understanding of what it is they're about to pass.
But it doesn't even make sense. Like, so my understanding is that for new drivers, 16, 17, and 18-year-olds, their premiums are a lot higher because they are inexperienced drivers, and the statistics show that, you know, they tend to be foolish. They have friends in the back. They get into more. So I'm just saying that it's dangerous when you start just everybody's equal. Don't look at the statistics, and it doesn't make sense.
Don't look at logic. But that's how logic, we start. Right. But that's what we started off with. Women and men are different in so many regards. And so to put on blinders and say, no, we're all the same, is foolish. It's not based in truth.
As a woman, I guess maybe I live with my head in the sand. I'm not sure. And I worked at University of Penn Hospital. I worked at Thomas Jefferson University as an occupational therapist. I never felt like I was treated unequally. I never felt that way from doctors, nurses, other therapists. I believe all of my friends, unless, again, I'm living with my head in the sand, you know, a female, male occupational therapist, we're making the same salary. We have the same benefits. Doctors, man or woman, I always assumed that perhaps when you look at the statistics, the reason that men, if you look at the whole chunk of men and the whole chunk of women, and you're just looking at the salaries that they make, the reason that men may make more money collectively is because as an occupational therapist, I stopped working 14 years ago because I had children and it was more important for me to stay home with my children. Mm. I have a lot of friends actually in the occupational therapy field. 99.9% of us are women. A lot of women go into that field. We don't become doctors, which has the potential to probably make 10 times as much money. Mm-hmm. The reason that we choose OT or nursing or even physical therapy is because we can work in the school systems and then be on the same schedule as our children. We can just work on the weekends when our husbands are home, or we can be in a pool. So a lot of us become teachers. Maybe we're choosing professions that have a lower salary. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with equality. I mean, right. I could become a doctor if I want to.
Right, yeah.
I could become whatever I want to be, the United States' next president. And I don't feel like anyone's stifling me. What do you say to that?
All of your assumptions are accurate. So much so, since this is becoming a national drumbeat, the U.S. Department of Labor actually commissioned a study on wage equality in 2009, and they reported their findings January of this year. And what they found was exactly what you just stated, that there is, if you're looking at what our president and several others in the media, as well as Patricia Arquette, now famous Oscar speech of it's time for wage equality. And let me just say on a sidebar, it's really interesting that she would be screaming that at the Oscars when People's Magazine just ranked her as the number one paid actress in the world. She had a net worth of $185 million.
Right,
so it's really interesting, right?
It is
interesting. For wage inequality. And she's the number one actress, paid actress. Nonetheless, bypassing Patricia, what the U.S. Department of Labor said, and what most of us know, is that, and when you see our elected officials standing up, President Obama more specifically, because last year he tried to pass two executive orders to force wage comparability between men and women. And what you typically hear them say is that women are paid 77 cents for every dollar that men make. And what they're taking is they're taking all the working women in the United States and all the working men in the United States, and they're doing it, and they're coming up with an average, which the U.S. Department of Labor calls a raw average median, and saying this is what women are paid. Women are paid 77 cents for every dollar that men make. But now, of course, we know that that's apples with peanuts over here on the side, or comparing apples and oranges, right? Because they're including not only full-time employee people, but part-time people. They're across industries, across age groups. And you're not going to get a good number. So what the U.S. Department did is that with the data that they have, what they found is that if you're looking at the same industry, so working in the exact same industry, the disparity is women are paid 98 cents for every dollar that a man makes. 98 cents for every dollar that a man makes. But again, they cited, we obviously don't know all of the particulars and the variables, right? Because they're at a very national level and they're trying to drill down. But based on what they saw, women are paid 98 cents to every dollar that men make.
Which I would say is pretty equal. And you're saying...
But it gets even more equal to your point that you said earlier. If you're working in the exact same company, what they found is that women are paid the exact amount that men are being paid. So there is no disparity if you drill down inside the company. But we know that from a statistical perspective. The smaller my pool of people that I'm looking at, the more accurate my results are going to be. There's going to be less variables that are not in my control. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is that, again, President Obama, like I said earlier, he tried to push through two executive orders last year to reduce this gross wage inequality of women receiving 77 cents for every dollar that men make. Come to find out, within the White House, if you just do a raw median average of just taking every single person from the cook all the way up to the chief of staff, men versus women, in the White House, women are being paid 88 cents to every dollar that men make. And when this was presented to the House Speaker, he fumbled around and said, well, what I can say is that on a position by position basis, there is equality. So they understand how math works. if I am looking, as the U.S. Department of Labor has found and published, if you're looking inside a specific company, men and women are paid the exact same. If you're looking across one industry versus another industry, women are being paid 98 cents on the dollar for every man. But if you just take a big bucket of apples on one side and a big bucket of oranges on the other, there's a 77 cents disparity. But that number is not a true number.
Thank you for educating us. Let's move on to what's happening if I'm married, I've been a stay-at-home mom for 15 years, now we get divorced, and my husband should have to pay me some alimony. What does the ARA say about that?
Well, several things are going to change. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Ginsburg did an analysis on the ERA back in the 70s, and she saw that over 800 laws that are currently on the book is going to be impacted by a national ERA coming onto the scene. And one of the things that she cited was that Social Security benefits, that although the Social Security benefits, as of right now, if you are a stay-at-home mom, you receive, if your husband should die, then you receive benefits until your child gets to a certain age.
Sure. All of our grandparents did that. Both of my grandmothers.
Exactly. But according to Supreme Court Justice Ruth Ginsburg, although the Social Security Administration may consider it a benefit, it will go away because it shows preferential treatment to women. And I thought it was really interesting that she also cited is that it also encourages women to be dependent on their husband. Now, that just gives you, you know, when you look at all of these bills and agendas and things that are going on in our culture, you have to ask yourself why. Why are they pushing this? This makes no sense to place this burden that is actually going to harm women. And then you begin.
And let me speak to something really quickly, because I really dislike that Ginsburg says women should not be dependent on men, because she's once again not saying the whole entire truth, which is my husband is very dependent on me for food shopping, for creating the meals every night, for managing the children, managing the house finances. So we are both dependent on each other for different ways. And I look at our roles differently from Ginsburg in that I think that they are both very important.
Very important.
I don't say that just my husband, because he happens to be a doctor, that his role is more important than mine.
Right.
It's not more important than mine. So I just wanted to get on my pedestal and share that with you.
Well, it's a very valid point, because what would your husband, I mean, he's spending how many hours a day does he work generally, and let's just throw out a rough number for a doctor, 12 hours for most doctors. And then what is he going to do? Come home and live in a cave? No, you create a home environment that allows him to thrive as an individual. So your role is not less than or greater than. His role is not less than or greater than. It's different, recognizing the choices that you in your home as individuals can make. But this thing that...
Kathy, at the Truth Exchange, you're trying to get us to engage our minds and think critically. And I want to ask the question, what is wrong with the word dependency? What is wrong with the word being dependent? Is, you know, my children are dependent on me. Your children are dependent on you.
Yes.
You know, it can kind of be.
And yet there's a mutual respect.
Correct.
And yet there is love.
And yet there's equality.
And yet there is equality, right? Now, my children do not outrule me.
Right.
But that's very different from my husband and my relationship. It's a unity, right? And it's a partnership. Mm-hmm. We're coming together. I'm bringing certain things to the table. He's bringing certain things to the table. And although you and I had really great careers prior to getting married, we've both made the decision to primarily be stay-at-home mothers, right?
Because is a new career.
But, you know, I mean, oh my goodness. I tell my husband all the time how I would not prefer many days, to clock in and out,
right,
to go on a lunch break and have some time alone to think or to have
to have a holiday.
You know, to have my own little friends or my own adult friends, mm-hmm, right, versus my wonderful little friends that mm-hmm I have that are my children. But here's the key thing to, you know, something to kind of pull away from Supreme Court Justice Ruth Ginsburg's comment that 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 the benefits will be taken away because women should not be dependent upon their husband. One, my husband and I, just like you and your husband, came together and made a decision on what you thought was best for your family. But now you have extreme feminist big sister coming in and telling you what you can and cannot do. You should not, Carla, Kathy, you should not be dependent upon your husband. So it's illegal. You can't do it. And we're not going to provide, we're not going to provide mechanisms that would allow you to do that.
Kathy, I just Googled the actual definition of dependency. And, you know, it says to rely on, to depend upon someone. And
it sounds like
I don't think that there's anything wrong with relying on your husband or your wife.
It sounds like a marriage, doesn't it?
But
it doesn't sound
we
like
all
roommates.
Depend on something. Even no, it's definitely not roommates. I don't want a roommate for life, please. But it even, you know, presidency and vice presidency in the White House, they are both equal. They are both very important, and they better both listen mm-hmm. to each other. But they're different roles.
Yeah, they're different roles.
They're dependent. Mm-hmm. If we think that we live in a society that doesn't have dependency and doesn't have submission, that's a fallacy.
It is.
So I'm sorry, let's get back to
the
ERA.
No, but you know, I mean, but that's what this is all about, is having a conversation, coming to the kitchen tables of your listeners and just having a conversation about what does the ERA really mean and how will it impact? Because if you turn on your television and an ERA commercial comes up, you're not getting the full picture. All they said, I tell you no lie, was equal rights. I want equal rights. Don't you want equal rights? And they did not tell me anything other than that. And so if I went off that information alone, I would be being used. I would be susceptible to being used by extreme feminists, as well as also be being used of putting my energy in a place that I have no business putting my energy and effort behind.
I have often said, I do not like feminists, and don't call me a feminist. I'm a traditionalist. I want to have some dependency going on in my relationships.
Some reliance.
Yeah, some reliance.
Two people, yeah. Or at least being able to make the choice. See, the ERA
right.
takes away
I want to have the choice.
Option. Now, there are women who, you know, who like not being dependent.
And that's fine.
And
go and pay for yourself
all
the time.
Don't want the door open for
that's
them.
That's right. And that's
but
fine.
But you have that option.
I want the
what
choice.
What the ERA does is that it takes away the option.
And that's what I want to go back to. So they're taking away the options. They're taking away the lower premiums for women in certain insurances. They're taking away Social Security for women.
Yeah.
Tell me about, are they taking away our disability? When I'm pregnant, I at University of Penn had 12 weeks that I could stay home with my baby. Now do I have to get right back?
Well,
because that's not fair. Is that fair?
Well, one of the things right now, and we're actually seeing state ERAs harm women in this fashion regarding their pregnancy, is that under the law, our laws make certain accommodations for pregnant working women on the job if those jobs require heavy lifting or long periods of standing. It's for very obvious reasons when you're pregnant that you shouldn't lift heavy things or that you should not be standing for long periods of time. So our laws, recognizing that men and women are different, using logic, make certain accommodations that when you're pregnant, they make special accommodations for those who are in particular jobs where heavy lifting or long periods of standing are being required. Well, under the ERA, those special accommodations will go away because, once again, it shows preferential treatment to men, to women versus men. And so it is shown as sex discrimination. Another thing, right now we do not have the draft in place, the military draft in place, but most of us are very aware of when we did have the draft in place, and it was not a really, it was not a nice thing. Well, under the ERA, men and women will be required to be drafted at equal number. So now not just men will be drafted into the military, but women will be drafted into the military in equal numbers, and women will be placed on frontline combat. Today, it is an option. Now, I spent over 10 years in the military, and I loved every minute of it. I mean, the push-ups and everything. I loved every aspect of having the honor to play a support role in my country, and it allowed and it paid for me to go to college. So I'm very grateful for that opportunity. But I do not believe I had the physical wherewithal to meet the requirements to go fight in frontline combat. And whether I had the physical wherewithal to meet those requirements, I don't want to be on frontline combat.
And sometimes, do you think that you being on the front lines might actually be endangering those people
around
you?
And that is what they have found in previous studies on the reason why they prohibited women for a long period of time serving frontline combat. Because in our culture, at one point in time, men had a very high esteem for women. And so one of the thoughts was that if the unit was ever captured and there was a woman in it, the things that could be done to a woman to torture her in front of her comrades would be too much for them to bear. And so they were crack, you know, give the secrets away, whatever the thing would be, just to spare the woman. Well, today, feminists is doing a really great job in chipping away at the honor women used to have in so many regards. But getting back to the military draft, again, we do not have a military draft in place. But if you cannot watch any amount of television for any amount of time and not be inundated with war after war after war. So it's not a far cry of whether or not our country will have to go into a war situation and the draft will have to be implemented again. And if it was implemented, one of the things that Supreme Court Justice Ruth Ginsburg found is that the ERA will also have an impact on military draft. Mm-hmm. Women would be forced to be drafted in equal numbers. Your daughter, my daughter, being drafted into the military and placed on frontline combat in equal numbers as men. Mm-hmm. Now, I was able to serve my country, but I had the option. The ERA takes that option away.
I dislike that. So let's go back, because I wasn't even thinking about that when women are taken over by the enemy in front of their friends, what might be happening to them in that enemy's camp. What I was thinking about is if I'm a man now and I'm fighting against the enemy, I would literally look for the women and I would go to take them down first, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm 5'4 and I'm 102 pounds. And I think most women tend not to be 5'10, 5'11, 6 foot. And again, we already talked that muscle mass is different between men and women. I was thinking more of, you know, I would rather have a big, huge man next to me fighting at the front lines. Now, let me share this with you. My nephew, who is 5 years old, is wrestling. And I guess he's wrestling on a feminist league because he's wrestling against little girls. And my 5-year-old nephew, which I think, honestly, this is my opinion, it's only my opinion, but I think that it's child abuse for the little girl and for the little boy that, you know, like Luca said to me, you know, do I grab her boobs? Do I grab her crotch, her butt? And I said, yes, you grab it. You take her down. And why did I say that? Because she wants equal rights. Her parents want her to have equal rights if she wants to be wrestling with the little boys. And certainly when she's 10, 12, or 14, I will tell my nephew again, grab whatever you need to grab. Why should my little nephew have to you know, walk on eggshells around this little girl that's coming out to him on the mat?
And then, you know, and I completely identify with what you're saying, but think also of how that changes his view of women and begins to give him a distorted view of the role of a man and a woman and how a woman should be treated, and what kind of man does that produce later on in life.
And I think maybe there's a viable solution, which is just have an all-women's wrestling league if you really want to wrestle that badly. Have an all-women's football league if that's what you wish to do. And I think that, again, to talk about the media in Hollywood, Angelina Jolie has been used and has done an excellent job of being a character that doesn't need a man, that she is this aggressive, shoot everybody, kick you in the face. And kind of like you're saying, like, wow, how are men going to view women if we're putting in front of our little girls and in front of our little boys these women that are, you know, just going out and destroying the whole entire world.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and the thing, and one of the things that make this country so great is the fact that religious conscience or freedom of conscience, right? I get to live my life to a very large extent based on what I deem to be appropriate, based on what I believe to be what my family and I should be doing with our lives without a tremendous amount of intrusion from some third party telling me what I can and cannot do. So one of the great benefits about being in this country that if you want to be She-Ra and run all over
go
the world, then go do it. But if you do not want to be She-Ra and you feel that you have a calling in your heart to be a stay-at-home mom, or not only that, but a calling in your heart to take care of your women, elderly care, providing elderly care for your parents, because that's another thing that the U.S. Department of Labor saw as a reason for why women tend to come out of the workforce and have a break in their career path, which then would not allow them to be on equal footing with a male who does not have a break in his career path, that we come out of the workforce either to give birth to our child or to take care of our children or to take care of our elderly parents. Now, those are choices that we get to make. But what ERA does, and what I really want your listeners to walk away with, is that it takes away choice. It takes away. It's another chip on the block of freedom. And over the past 8 years, we have had a relentless amount of chipping to our freedoms, whether it's with healthcare, education with Common Core, and a variety of other things. Now with the FCC and the internet, every time we turn around, someone is trying to chip away at our freedoms and trying to impose what they believe to be right for us to do.
Right. And I have to go back to aggression and Angelina Jolie. The fact is that, again, we are made differently. Men have testosterone. We have estrogen. We do not have all of that aggressiveness that, you know, women like Ginsburg or, you know, Hollywood media wants to present women in this aggressive, angry way. But again, as you said, we live in the United States of America. If that is how you want to portray yourself, go for it.
Exactly. But just don't force it down my throat.
Correct.
And that's what the ERA does.
Correct. And indeed, and it's interesting, though, because I think they try to, you know, put a skirt on men. They don't like that men are aggressive, but yet they're trying to make women aggressive.
Yes, exactly.
Again, it's a little bit of hypocrisy.
It is
happening. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, just kind of a recap for your listeners. The ERA will harm women. Just walk away with that, if nothing else. Do not be duped. Do not be fooled. Do not allow yourself to walk around as though you're uninformed, because now you're not.
And do we have information where we can go online? Because all we're hearing, and in this world that we live in, we only like snippets. We only like bullets. Our brains can basically hear the movie star saying, we want equal rights. Vote ERA. We're done.
Yes.
So for those of us who are critical thinkers, where can we go? I'm sure we can probably just Google what the ERA really says.
You can. I mean, like, there are a number of organizations. I know for a fact organizations like Illinois Family Institute.
And we have the Pennsylvania Family Institute here.
We have the Pennsylvania Family Institute here that you can go to as well. But I know for a fact the IllinoisFamilyInstitute.org has that information on there, as well as EagleForum.org is where they can get information. And we will also have information on our website at TruthExchange.net. So your listeners can go to a variety of places. And now we have this podcast. Just listen to it over and over again, and it will become second
and
nature
share it,
to you.
And share it. And I want to just bring up one more piece, another story. You know, my parents were very instrumental. We had limited television in the home, and those things that we did watch, there was always discussion about it. Discussion. We would go to the movies, but there was always discussion, the good and the bad. My parents would say to us, okay, why do we agree with that? Or what do you think about this? And I will never forget that in the 80s, when I was 15, the big thing was Murphy Brown. Oh my goodness, Murphy Brown is going to have a baby by herself. She's going to be a single woman having a baby. And my dad sat me and my brothers down one evening at dinner, and we discussed, is this a good thing? Why or why not? Well, of course, we have the Christian perspective. We're coming from the biblical perspective that God created man and woman to come together and to be a family. And so she is already starting out without that man. But my dad took it another step further and he said, you know what? Murphy Brown is a lawyer on the show. I can't remember what her job was, but you know, she's going to be able to hire a nanny. She has a lot of resources at her fingertips. She is doing an enormous disservice to the women in the United States of America because she's saying, it's awesome. It's fun. You don't need a man. Gloria Steinem said, a woman with a man is like a fish with a bicycle. Of course, she ended up getting married just a couple of years later. Mm-hmm. Why they can't stick to their mantras, I don't know. But my point is this. Then you had Madonna, who was the big single mom. Mm-hmm. She has a million nannies. She has plenty of money to do everything.
And a million different men.
Right. But for the average little girl that at 15, 16, 17 says, oh, I want to be like Murphy Brown. Well, people don't even know who she is now. Or Madonna or whomever. It is not a happy situation. It is not pretty. It is not easy. Not. It is sad. It is a sad, sad thing. But now I hear that Ginsburg is saying, you know what? We want these women not to have the benefits
not
from
to be
a man
dependent.
Because we don't want them to be dependent on
right,
a man.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think it's foolishness. And I don't think that it is in our women's or our little girls' best interest. So thank you for sharing that with
thank
us
you
today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I encourage all of you go to thetruthexchange.net and check out Kathy Barnett and listen to our podcast over and over again. And continue to follow my books, Fabulous Things Are Happening, to educate our little ones at my Julia Learns series. Go to Julia Learns at Facebook and also go to Carla Dedesi at Facebook to see what other fabulous interviews, resources, and tools we will be bringing to you here on Your Family Matters at 1180 WFYL.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the God of this city.
Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the cost needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive with the Lord's guidance and direction to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need during this harsh winter. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets, so come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.